Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for February's Neurology Club webinar. I'm very pleased to welcome our speaker for today, European and RCVS specialist in veterinary neurology, Luca Motta. Thank you, Luca. I'm now going to hand over to you.
Okay, well, thank you for attending this CPD. We are going to have a chat today about the dysfunction of the vestibular system. And now I always think that in order to understand well how to localize a lesion within the vestibular system, it's important that we understand a bit the anatomy and the physiology as well of the vestibular system, because in this way we will be it will be much easier to localize the lesion in a dog or a cat affected with vestibular disease. To start with, the vestibular system is basically the primary component the nervous system that is responsible for maintaining the equilibrium, the balance. And what the balance system does really is that it coordinates the movement of the head with the movement of the eyes, of the trunk, and of the limb as well. The vestibular system is divided into the peripheral vestibular system and in the central vestibular system. The peripheral vestibular system is composed by the vestibular division of the cranial nerve number 8, which is this one, and also the ampullae and the maculae. They are located with the within the inner ear. Okay, and this is just a scheme showing you that this is the external ear canal. This is the tympanic membrane, and then this is the middle ear, and this is the inner ear. So already from this picture, you can understand that if you have sometimes if you have issues or inflammation within the middle ear, okay, that can also affect sometimes, unfortunately, the inner ear and the nerve, okay, the vestibular nerve, and that can lead to vestibular dysfunction. The central vestibular system is composed by, the vestibular nerves, okay, which are, well, the nuclei here, which are four nuclei, okay. And from the vestibular nuclei, also the vestibular nuclei are connected to the cerebellum, and they are also connected to other cranial nerve nuclei, in particular to the number 3, number 4, and number 6. And now, if we do a, if we see where the vestibular nuclei are, the vestibular nuclei are, located in this region in the brain, okay, which is just underneath the cerebellum with the, in the medulla oblongata, and what they do basically, they send some information, okay, in the spinal cord through the vestibulospinal tracts, and the vestibulospinal tract that are basically what they do is they give information to the extensor muscle and to the flexor muscle, ipsilateral and contralateral, in particular. They decrease, really, they inhibit the contralateral extensor muscles, and they increase the tone of the extensor muscle ipsilaterally, and they inhibit the flexor muscles ipsilaterally. So, if we think that this is the right part of the vestibular, nuclei, so the right part of the vestibular system, basically the central vestibular system, will decrease, basically inhibit the tone of the left, extensor muscles, okay, the extensor muscle on the left side of the body, and will decrease also the flexor muscles ipsilaterally, okay, so on the right side, and will increase the extensor muscle on the right side of the body. What are the clinical signs associated with the vestibular disease? Well, most of the time, dogs and cats tend to have head tilt, asymmetric vestibular ataxia, so they tend to circle, they tend to fall over to the affected side. Usually, there is a loss of balance. The strength is fine, so these dogs and cats, they have no issue with the strength, so the strength is absolutely normal. The issue is that they really are struggling to balance themselves. Often you can have a pathological nystagmus, and you can also have a vestibular strabismus. The head tilt, so let's start with the head tilt. Now, the head tilt is a common clinical sign, and in the peripheral vestibular disease, you have the head tilt towards the lesion. Instead, in the central vestibular disease, you have the head tilt to either side, so you may have it to the other side. So we'll come to this concept a bit later on. Now, there is a rule in the vestibular system, and the direction of the head tilt and the balance loss is towards the side of the least vestibular system activity. So let's think about this is a tissue-weighted transverse, MRI scan of a dog's brain, okay, which is showing you this is the middle ear, okay. Now you see in the middle ear on the right side there is a bit of secretion, and if there is a middle ear disease enough to cause a vestibular disease, what will happen is that the dog, okay, will have the head tilt towards this side of the least vestibular system activity. And so in this particular case, the vestibular system that does work is the right side, and so the dog will have the head tilt to the right side. Okay. So the classic appearance of a dog with a head tilt. I'm sure that many of you have seen dogs with head tilt or cats with head tilt. And the other clinical sign is that these dogs they tend to circle, and they tend to circle in small cycles, okay? And sometimes they circle and then they fall over as well. And the circling both in the peripheral and central vestibular disease is towards the lesion. Now, why a dog is circling? Well, let's try to understand why a dog would circle. Now, normally we know that what's happening is that the vestibular nuclei, okay, so in this particular case, let's think about the vestibular nuclei on the right side. They will send impulse to the vestibulospinal tract, and as we said before, they will inhibit the contralateral extensor muscles, and they will inhibit the ipsilateral flexor muscles, okay, and they will increase the tone of the extensor muscles. Now, if there is a disease or there is some damage of the vestibular system, and let's say in this particular case on the right side, okay, what's happening is that the vestibulospinal tract doesn't work as they should. And so what will happen is there is basically in this particular occasion an increased tone of the contralateral extensor muscle, an increased tone of the ipsilateral flexor muscle, and decreased tone of the ipsilateral extensor muscle. And that will make the dog circle and fall over as well. I always try to explain this with this Pisa Tower, which is in Italy. Well, if the vestibular system works well, okay. So if both the left and the right vestibular system work well, what's happening is that your extensor muscles, they're working very well, and so the dog can keep a good balance, okay? The extensor muscle on the left, on the right, they work well together, and so the dog could keep really standing on a normal position. Now, let's say that on the right side, the vestibular system doesn't work. What will happen is that contralaterally, you will have an increased tone of the extensor muscles, and so the dog would tend to fall over, to lean or to circle towards the affected side. And even actually here, what you will have is an increased tone of the flexor muscles. And so the dog, this is why the dog would lean or would fall or would circle towards the right side in this particular case. Now this is a video of a dog, and what I wanted to show you was the basically, or we can start from the beginning. This dog, basically, if you see from here already, okay, he's got an increased tone of the left of the left extensor muscles, okay, and he's got a head tilt towards the right, okay. You see, he's got this head tilt towards the right there. Yes, here we go. And he's got really an increased tone of the contralateral muscles, okay? And you see, he's got really an increased tone of the flexor muscle ipsilaterally to the head tilt, okay? And this dog really tends to circle, and tends to also fall over towards the right side, okay? This dog was desperately, I think, to have a wee. But anyway, he's got a wee now. But I'll show you now that he's trying now to stand up again. Can you see that? So he's really got this extension, okay, of the left fore and hind limb, okay, and there is a flexion of the right side, and so it's very difficult for him to stand, okay, and he's really falling over, you see, towards the right side. This is because the vestibular tract, well, the vestibular system doesn't work, and so the vestibulospinal tract doesn't work as they should. The other thing that you can have in a vestibular disease is a nystagmus. Okay, now the nystagmus is nothing else than an involuntary rhythmic oscillation of the eye. What will happen is that normally, in a normal dog, basically a dog in which the vestibular system is working well, the vestibular system is connected to the abducens nerve, okay, this one, which is connected to the lateral rectus muscle and to the oculomotor nerve, okay, which is connected and is concerned with the movement of the medial rectus muscles. If the vestibular system works well, everything is in, the eyes will move absolutely, normally. But now let's say that there is a lesion on the right vestibular system. Okay, what you have is that the connection to the ipsilateral abducens nerve and to the contralateral oculomotor nerve that don't work anymore. So look at that. What's going to happen now is that on the lateral rectus muscle on the left eye and the medial rectus muscle on the right eye will work too much, and so what they will do, they will pull the eye towards the left side, and this is why you have the nystagmus. Okay, so this system doesn't work as it should, and so the eyes are pulled constantly, really, towards the left side in this particular case. So in this particular case, we would say that the eyes, they are constantly drawn to the left side, and so the fast phase. Okay, so there will be a fast phase of these. Of this movement of the eyes will co be constantly to the left and is away from the lesion on the right. So the eyes will be constantly pulled towards the left and then slowly they go to the right and then constantly pulled to the left quickly. And with the peripheral vestibular lesions, the direction of the nystagmus is not altered by the head position. And the nystagmus usually is horizontal or rotary, and you can have the fast phase is away from the lesion. And in center vestibular lesion, it's very interesting because the direction may change with the head position, so you may have a positional nystagmus, and the nystagmus as well may be horizontal, rotary, or vertical. Now this is an example of a dog was that this dog was poisoned, well, intoxicated with metronidazole, and it got better 2 days later after we stopped metronidazole with some fluid therapy. And what's happened is that you will see that this dog has basically vertical nystagmus, okay? Look at that. Look how the eyes, they're really quickly moving vertically. This is a typical example of a vertical nystagmus. And this dog really couldn't really stand or move. It was really it's really unbalanced. Okay. The other video is a very interesting one. That is a classic example of a positional vestibular nystagmus. Okay. And a positional nystagmus. And what will happen in this case is that the nystagmus appears when you change the head positioning. And this is typical of a central vestibular disease. So in this particular case, the cat didn't have an nystagmus, but now when you move the head, you can see that the eyes, they start moving slowly. See, there is a bit of nystagmus there. Even better, if you really change completely the position of this cat in the space, so you put the cat on his back, very, very tolerant cat, I have to say, but if you completely change the positioning of the head in the space, you will now see that, you know, there is a pretty clear vertical nystagmus, huh? Really clear. And this is commonly a sign of central vestibular disease. So what about the conscious proprioception and the postural reactions? In peripheral vestibular lesions, these reactions are normal. I have to say that many times in a dog that is badly affected by peripheral vestibular disease, sometimes it's pretty difficult to test the postural reaction and the conscious proprioception as well, because the dog is unable to stand and it will constantly fall over and will so it's not very easy. Okay, so it's not very easy to test the proprioception in dogs that they constantly fall over and they circle and they're pretty distressed. Okay, but in general, in these dogs, so if a dog has got a peripheral vestibular disease, even a severe one, well, the proprioception will be normal. Really, the conscious proprioception, the postural reaction will be normal. Instead, with the central vestibular lesion, the deficit will be ipsilateral to the lesion, okay? Always ipsilateral to the lesion. And the reason behind that is that if you have a lesion around the vestibular nuclei, okay, the vestibular nuclei, they're pretty close to some other pathways that they bring the information from and to the brain. And so if you have a lesion big enough, really, that is going into affect the vestibular nuclei, well, often you tend to have also, an involvement of this pathway that go to and from the brain. And so the dog will find difficult to understand what the pose are. And so if you test the proprioception, the dog may not have a normal reactions. And this particular case, for example, you have a lesion that is affecting, yes, the vestibular nuclei, but is also it will affect also the conscious proprioception of the dog. And of course, the deficit, they are ipsilateral to the lesion, so they are on the same side of the of where the lesion is. The other thing that usually we are concerned about is cranial nerve deficit. Now with a peripheral vestibular lesion, you may have an ipsilateral dysfunction of the cranial nerve number 7, the facial nerve. So some dogs will be presenting to you, or some cats will be presenting to you with the head tilt, maybe, and also the facial palsy, so they will not be able to blink. And that is because the facial nerve runs really in close proximity of the middle ear. And so if there is a middle ear, for example, middle ear disease that is severe enough to damage also the facial nerve, you will have head tilt, but also you will have the facial nerve palsy. Or sometimes you may also have facial palsy and vestibular disease of idiopathic origin. Okay, many dogs will be presented to you, and they've got this facial palsy and a tilt. And they, you know, what we do is, we of course we take bloods, we test for the thyroid panel, we do MRI scan of the brain. Sometimes you find nothing, and that is because dogs can have the idiopathic facial nerve paralysis and vestibular disease, concomitant vestibular disease, and this is, so this is something that you can see in peripheral vestibular lesion. But other kind of nerves, they are usually not affected with the peripheral vestibular disease. Instead, with the central vestibular lesion, you tend to have, you may have basically multiple cranial nerve deficits ipsilateral to the lesion. And the reason behind that is that the cranial nerve nuclei, and also the nerves really from number 5 to number 12, they run around here, okay? And if we remember well, the vestibular nuclei are around here. So let's say that there is a lesion that is big enough to affect really this area. Well, that will have vestibular disease, but also will have, may have multiple cranial nerve deficits. Okay, so if you have a lesion big enough, this is what will happen. And the same, this is another picture showing you that the nuclei of the cranial nerve from number 5 to number 12, they're around this area here. So. And if you have a lesion that is affecting the vestibular nuclei, really, well, that can cause basically, you know, multiple cranial nerve deficits. This is an example of where the cranial nerve number 7 is, and so you see it's running pretty, you know, in proximity of the middle ear. And so, of course, if you have a middle ear disease which is strong, you know, severe enough to damage this nerve, you will have head tilt and facial palsy. The other thing that you can have is the Horner syndrome. Now, the Horner syndrome is in peripheral vestibular lesions, you may see it, okay? It's not unusual to see a dog with or a cat with a peripheral vestibular disease having a Horner syndrome. Instead, it's pretty rare to see, you know, an Horner syndrome with a central vestibular lesion. Okay, the Horner syndrome is nothing else than, you know, a number of clinical signs affecting the eye basically, and is characterized by the meiosis, smaller papular fissure, a protrusion of the third eyelid, and an ophthalmos. So the eye will sink in the eye globe, and this is because the sympathetic innervation of the eye, once again, running in close proximity through really the, you know, the middle ear. And so if you, once again, if you have a peripheral vestibular disease, that, you know, it may affect really the sympathetic innervation to the eye. And so if you have a dysfunction of the sympathetic innervation in the eye, then you have a Horner syndrome. And the Horner syndrome is ipsilateral, of course, to the affected middle ear. So you will have head tilt for, you know, in this particular case, for example, if the lesion is on the right, okay, middle ear, you will have a right head tilt. And you will also have a right, you may also have a right Horner syndrome. This is a very good paper about, you know, how you localize the lesion in idiopathic Horner syndrome. So we're talking about Horner syndrome, but in this particular case, there are no causes for Horner syndrome. But this is a diagram that is showing you how, where the cranial cervical ganglion is. This is the tympanic bulla. So the postganglionic axons that run through the middle ear. So if you have a lesion or a middle ear disease, well, all the postganglionic axons will be affected, and so this is why you might have the Horner syndrome. Now, what can happen is that you may be faced with a dog or a cat with a paradoxical vestibular disease, and this is happens when you got a lesion that is affecting the cerebellum, okay, or anyway the connection between the cerebellum and the vestibular nuclei. Now, in this particular case, the head tilt and the loss of balance are, to the opposite side of the lesion. Okay, so you will have. We always say until now that commonly, you have a, if you have a peripheral vestibular disease, both often, with central vestibular disease, you tend to have, ipsilateral head tilt. Okay, well, in paradoxical vestibular syndrome, the head tilt instead is opposite, so it's contralateral to the side of the lesion. Now, once again, there is this rule, okay, that the direction of the head tilt and the balance loss is towards the side of the least vestibular system activity. Okay, so now let what's happening in the brain is that the cerebellum is connected to the vestibular nuclei, and what the cerebellum does, it inhibits the vestibular nuclei. Okay, so if there is a lesion in the cerebellum or in this pathway here, this inhibition is lost. Okay, lost. And so what you have now is that the lesion is on the left side, and the left side of the vestibular nuclei, they've lost the inhibition from the cerebellum. And what will happen is that this side, okay, so the left side, the left vestibular nuclei will discharge too much. So now the side of with the least vestibular activity is the right side, because the left side discharges too much. And so what will happen is that, of course, the head tilt and the balance system, we say that is towards the side with the least physical activity of the vestibular system, and so will be on the right side, despite the fact that you have a lesion on the left side. And how do you understand that this dog is affected by a paradoxical vestibular disease? And how do you you real how can you understand which side of the vestibular system is affected? Because the side of the lesion is clinically determined by the side of which there are postural reactions. Because as you know, and so when you do a complete neurologic examination, you will find out that yes, in this particular case, the dog will come to you with the right head tilt, but the postural reactions would be to the opposite side. Okay, so in this particular case, to the left. So example of a dog with the right head tilt and some postural reaction on the left. And I've got here two videos. We'll start with videos number well, with the first video, just to show you really that this dog has let's see when he's walking around. This dog has got a left head tilt. Okay, head tilt to the left. See? It's not too bad, but it's a mild head tilt, but it's got a head tilt to the left. Walking wise, it's pretty normal, apart from maybe it's a bit hypermetric on the right forelimb, maybe, but difficult to really see. Definitely head tilt to the left. Okay. So when now you test the postural reaction, you see on the left, very well, it's got a normal postural reaction. On the right, this dog is really struggling. Really struggling. So once again, you test on the left on the same side of the head tilt, and it's good. But on the opposite side of the head tilt, this dog has got really slow postural reaction. So this dog is gonna have a central vestibular disease affecting the right side of the brain. The other video is about another dog, of course, and just similar to the other one basically, but I just want to show you again. So this dog has got left head tilt. The video is not great, but it's showing definitely neurological and proprioceptive deficit on the right forelimb. So left forelimb very well, but on the limb opposite to the side of the head tilt, there are proprioceptive deficits. And these are classic examples of paradoxical vestibular disease. And when do we see paradoxical vestibular disease? Commonly, we see them with cerebellar vascular accident, like this one. We tend to see them also with, unfortunately, with the neoplasia around the cerebellum pontine angle. So this area here, basically, where the cerebellum and also part of the vestibular nuclei are damaged. Okay. The other thing that we can see in dogs with peripheral, well, with central vestibular lesions mainly, is that these dogs, they may have an abnormal consciousness. So they can be normal, but they also can be very subdued or comatose. Okay? Instead, as we don't tend to see a comatose mental status in a dog with a peripheral vestibular disease or in a cat with a peripheral vestibular disease. Usually, these dogs and cats are normal. Okay, so they may be disorientated, they may be a bit more quieter than normal because, of course, they don't feel well, they feel dizzy, but they are conscious and aware of the surroundings. Okay, now the reason why a dog or a cat with a central vestibular lesion can be very well obtunded up to comatose is that around the area of the medulla oblongata up to the brain stem really there is a reticular formation which is basically is a system okay that is concerned with the awareness of the animal. And so the reticular formation receives information from multiple cranial nerves and also from the spinal cord, and then it relies, basically, it basically sends this information and the impulses, okay, to the cortex, to and that it with that really, with this connection, the dog is aware of the surrounding, is aware of what's going on, okay. So if there is a lesion that is big enough to affect or to damage the reticular formation, well. That you know that the you know and yes, it's affecting also, of course, the vestibular nuclei. Well, a dog can have a vestibular, a central vestibular disease, together with a decreased awareness of the surroundings. The other thing which is interesting is that approximately 25% of the animals, they are presented with the acute onset of vestibular system dysfunction. Are usually, but they may have episode of vomiting, and actually the owners will report episode of vomiting at the onset of the clinical signs. So it's not unusual to have an owner coming and say, "Well, the dog is starting, of course, having head tilt, it's circling, it's falling over, but also it's vomiting," and this is because the vestibular nuclei are connecting to with the reticular formation, with the vomiting center, which is in the reticular formation. So dysfunction of this connection, okay, may lead to vomiting. Well, of course, there is something that I think you should know. Although, if you want, this is the paper that is a very interesting paper that is going to complicate a bit the way in which we see dogs with vestibular signs, unfortunately, but it's a very, very good paper, very well written paper, and it's very interesting because what they found is that dogs with thalamic infarct, okay, they may have vestibular disease, and they found three clinical syndromes that were identified in association with a thalamic infarction. But yeah, just for you to know that, yeah, it's true that, of course, when you face with a dog with a vestibular disease, one of the thing to of course to be focused on will be your external, well, of course, your external canal and medial canal to find out whether a dog has got or a cat has got an external an otitis externa or an otitis media, and we'll be thinking about the vestibular nuclei or the dysfunction of the vestibular nuclei. We'll be thinking about the region around the medulla oblongata or the cerebellum, but also to bear in mind that your dog, cat, well, in this particular case, there's only been discovered in dogs, but so a dog that is presented with vestibular dysfunction may also have a thalamic lesion. Okay, in this particular case, it was only found with thalamic infarcts, but this is just for you to keep in mind, really. From a literature point of view, if you read around, this is from a book, very very well-known book, is basically there are only minor differences between clinical signs of vestibular system dysfunction affecting the peripheral vestibular system and the central vestibular system, and so. It is sometimes difficult to, only from a clinical examination and from a neurological examination, to find out and to basically understand whether a dog is affected or a cat is affected by a central vestibular dysfunction or a peripheral vestibular dysfunction. And so definitely, there are very small differences, and sometimes it's very difficult to do examinations in these dogs. And so, as I said before, you may be faced with a dog with a peripheral vestibular disease, but it's so severe and it's so bad that you cannot test the proprioception, or maybe during the examination you think that this proprioception is not normal, and so we may think that the dog has got central vestibular disease, and so you do further investigations such as advanced imaging, and you may not find a central vestibular disease. Okay. One good paper I think that is going to put is going to explain a bit about central vest versus peripheral vestibular disease is this paper written by Mark Troxell and his group and Drobatz and Charles White, and this is this is a good paper, and if you want you can find it and you can read it because I think it's very very interesting. And the papers about cats, I think I would like to point out one paper which I think is good, and is the clinical signs and MRI findings and outcome in 77 cats with vestibular disease. And interestingly, in this paper, what they found is that the correlation between the neural localization and the location of the lesion on MRI images in cats with central vestibular disease is about 60%. So it's not very high, to be honest. And also, because cats, they're very, there is a, I call them the mystery animals, really. They are sometimes a mystery. You can see from here there are three cats of the study with they have the central vestibular disease, okay? Had no observable MRI lesions, okay, despite the fact that on histopathological analysis they found inflammatory vascular and they found even a lymphoma. Okay, so they may not show anything really. Cats with a central vestibular disease, you may do an MRI scan, you find nothing, but eventually, at histopathological analysis, they may still have lesions in the brain. So that is very is very very interesting, really, finding. So if you well, I hope you enjoy this webinar, and if you have any questions or if you have any interesting cases that you want to discuss with me, I'm more than happy to have a chat with you. No issue with that. Work at Northwest Veterinary Specialist, and so if you got any question or anything, please ask me, and I will be more than happy to have a chat with you. And thank you very much for attending this CPD.